Now you will hear segment three.
In the final segment of Talking to the Experts, we'll be focusing on a rather worrisome development in school science labs across the country. Here to talk to us today is Stephanie Rawlings of the National Association of Science Teachers. Stephanie, there's been a lot of attention in the media recently about the dangers facing students and teachers in school science labs. Can you give us the background?
Well, what started it off was a horrible accident that occurred during a routine experiment in a high school chemistry class in Genoa, Illinois. 1 second, the teacher was at the front of the lab mixing chemicals, and the next, an alcohol-fueled fireball shot through the classroom, seriously burning 3 students in the front row. As the teacher pulled burning jeans off one of the girls, the rest of the class scrambled for the door, leaving burning backpacks and books behind.
And from what I've read, this wasn't an isolated event.
That's right. Some terrible accidents have occurred. In California, for instance, the school's excess liability fund reports that they recently paid claims of $1 million and more than $3 million in 2 cases involving chemistry lab accidents. A settlement is pending in a third involving a girl who has burned over 20% of her body. And according to interviews with researchers, school officials, and insurance companies, it appears that the stage is set for a significant increase.
What makes them think that the situation will get worse?
It all boils down to the fact that schools are trying to meet tough new science education standards that were recently set by the National Academy of Sciences.
Why has that changed things?
Well, in the past, most students got their chemistry from textbooks. But now students are spending more time doing experiments in science labs. This is because the standards advocate hands-on, inquiry-based science. And that's where the problems start. Some labs are crowded. Some are run by teachers with no safety training. And some are in old buildings that are ill-equipped for 21st century science.
Has anyone gathered statistics to document the problem?
Unfortunately, there is no government or private agency that collects official data on this kind of thing. But the state of Iowa, which adopted an early version of the standards more than 10 years ago, has done some research, and the statistics are telling. In the 3 school years before the new standards were introduced, schools around the state reported 674 accidents. In the 3 years following the introduction of the standards, more than 1,000 accidents were reported, more than a 30% increase. The number of lawsuits related to these accidents also soared, from 96 in the 3 years before the standards were set to 245 in the 3 years following. My guess is that if accurate statistics were gathered around the country, we'd find the actual numbers would be much, much higher. I hate to say it, but it's the kind of problem nobody wants to face.
Can anything be done?
Well, for starters, experts say that almost all of the lab accidents and injuries that we know about could have been prevented with simple safety measures. But a high percentage of science teachers have never had safety training. In North Carolina, for example, a recent study has revealed that more than 70% of North Carolina science teachers had never received safety training. Surveys in 17 other states found an average of 55% to 65% of teachers have not had safety training. So, our first priority needs to be providing teachers with the safety training they need. We also need to ensure that all labs are provided with the safety equipment they need.
How do these accidents happen, and what can be done to prevent them?
A typical scenario is that teachers do not have or bother to use an exhaust system. Then they might leave the cap off an alcohol jug or pour too much alcohol into the dishes. In such cases, fumes can build up. When the fumes are exposed to flame, they can create a flash fire.
So what you're saying is that if teachers were trained to follow a few simple safety procedures, then fewer accidents might occur.
Absolutely. For starters, having and using an exhaust system is an absolute must. Injuries can also be minimized if teachers use a plastic shield and require their students to wear goggles. Teachers also need to learn how to store chemicals safely and to know which chemicals can cause dangerous reactions if they accidentally mix or are allowed to sit on the shelf for too long.
Will teacher training alone make the labs more safe?
It's a step in the right direction, but other things must also be done, like getting the state and federal governments to become more actively involved. Aside from eye protection requirements, too few laws are aimed specifically at the safety of students, and those that do exist are usually not strictly enforced. Lawmakers can start by passing laws that oblige school labs to undergo regular safety inspections. They can also require that all accidents, no matter how minor, be reported to a centralized agency that will accurately track and report on the problem. This way, science educators will be able to learn from the mistakes of their colleagues.
Thanks, Stephanie. You've certainly given us a lot to think about.
Now you will hear questions 46 through 50. 46. What happened in the high school chemistry lab in Genoa, Illinois? 47. Why do experts fear that the problem will increase? 48. Why is the state of Iowa mentioned? 49. What is true of the accidents that have occurred? 50. Which is not mentioned as a way of correcting the situation? 49. That is the end of listening test 2.